Hello, hello. Wasn't that awesome, Lisa? Oh, come on. This is, she's trying to pull away here, but we can't get rid of her yet. God's just really growing your leadership. I think this is a season for leadership for this house, and you're a strategic part of that. God is really doing that. I got some awesome emerging prophets here. Marguerite's actually been a prophetess for like 20 years. We've been friends for a long time. She was on staff in Orangeville in California, part of a revival church there. And Marcy's been a part of our school for 3 years. Awesome, powerful voice. But what do you got for Lisa? Start off, give some of her.
Actually, I had. Okay.
How can the prophets speak if they're not heard? There we go.
Okay, actually, I had something for you to begin with before I had something over the house, and I just felt a real authority on your voice as you were speaking, and I feel like that is increasing. The Lord is really taking you into new places and new areas and new territories where your voice is going to be heard, and so I just want to bless that, and I want to release that new, that new territory that you're going to be conquering by the sound of your voice, and I feel like you're going to be declaring things over the land. And I feel like it's regional. I feel like it's not just Santa Rosa. I feel like the area of influence is increasing over your life. So I bless that authority that God has given on you. He has been growing you, has been stretching your tent pegs, and you have been increased in that way. And he is pouring forth a new level of anointing over you. Whew.
I just see you as a mother of nations. Ha. And when she was talking about you declaring things, I saw a staff in your hand, and I saw you strike the ground with the staff, and it changes the face of the landscape. Yeah, I do. I see you as a mother of nations, and I see little ones looking up at you as you teach, as you impart to them, and they're growing up to be great leaders. And they're going out and changing the face of their nations, and going to other nations as well.
Okay. Come on, let's just reach out and bless Lisa today. We just release the blessing of the Lord. Just put your hands on her, ladies. Just thank you for her, Father, that you have called her. You're commissioning her, Lord Jesus, with a greater authority, Father. She's already been stepping into it, but you're affirming it right now. You're letting your mantle fall and your angels. Lord, as she speaks, your angels get released on assignment. When she speaks, and we just pray that that prophetic confidence be activated in her at a whole nother level. Thank you for that prophetic that she is already stepping into. We pray that it be activated, Lord, and there will be a response to it, Lord, for what you're going to build in this region, Lord, in Santa Rosa and in the nations, Jesus. Fire on her in Jesus' name. Come on. Whoa. Thank you so much. Woo. All right, what else? Let's come up a little front. This is a little bit too far back here. What else you got? You got something for the house?
Yeah. I felt like over this fellowship, I just felt such a tension, a good tension, okay, not a bad tension, such a tension in the air. And it's the transitioning from one season into the other, and I felt like it almost felt confining in some ways, and I feel like God is really bringing a new shift into Grace Fellowship. There's a grace for the shift that is happening. There's a grace over Grace Fellowship for the shift that he is bringing you into. Whoa! The transition and the tension, don't pay attention to it because it is you being brought into a new place. Whoa! And so I bless that and release that over you in Jesus' name.
Yeah, there's something about a change in the landscape this morning. I feel like the change in the landscape is over Santa Rosa, too. It's not even just here. He's wiping away the things that have been getting in the way of progress in the past, and it's like a freeway, and you're moving forward at a high rate of speed, and that grace is going to be really instrumental and already is instrumental in facilitating and fathering and parenting this change. Yeah. I see it kind of like a hospital because as people are going through this change, God is bringing them in, and he is using every single person. It's not like there's one person that's more powerful than another. Every person in this church is responsible to lend their what God's given them to this community, to the change, to the hospital that is this place. No pressure. Yeah. I just felt like the Lord was saying that every person in this room is important, that he sees every single person. Even when I was sitting here, I hadn't looked at the room. I just saw in my mind's eye people all the way to the back row. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. You're important to the Lord, and he sees you, and he has something incredibly specific just for you.
Yeah, for the gentleman in the gray sweater in the back, you looked around. Yeah, that's you. What's your name? Anderson? Anderson, I've been hearing this scripture all morning long, and it's Habakkuk 1:5, and it says, look to the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And I felt like it was actually for a person, and I felt like it was for you, Anderson. Look at Anderson and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in you that you would not believe, even if you had been told. And I feel like God is doing a new thing. Whoa, I feel like God is doing a new thing, and like there is a shift that is almost parallel to what is happening within this fellowship. There's a shift that is representative of what God is going to do in this place. And you've been feeling the tension, and you've been feeling there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And God is saying, look at Anderson. Watch and be utterly amazed, because he's going to be doing something incredible in your life. So I just want to bless that over you. I want to release that over you in Jesus' name. You have leadership all over you. You have leadership all over you, and it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to rise up to the next level. You're called to be a father to the region. You're called to be a father. So begin to step into that place of fathering. You've got a father's heart. Whoa, you've got a father's heart for people to be healed and to walk healthy. And so I release and bless that over you, Anderson, in Jesus' name.
Wow.
Actually, if everybody could stand. Hey. Can you just declare after me? Hey, I am important. God made me for this season. He designed me for this moment. And I choose to step into what he's called me to do. I know that I'm powerful. And how he made me is amazing. So the guy in the back in the plaid shirt, I think from the very beginning there was a word specifically. Yeah, you guys can sit down. There was a word specifically for you that the Lord does see you, that you have stood out to him even when no one was looking. He's always been looking, and he has highlighted you because what's on the inside of you, you've kind of like stayed in the background, but you're not actually made for the background. You're actually made to step forward, and your voice is important, and he's put some things on the inside of you that you were meant to declare, and he wants you to be bold to do that.
Push out another little more for him.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I actually see you having some influence in the business realm too. Yeah. And you're called to influence other business leaders around you. You've got strategies, and you are able to speak into their lives, and it's like their success rate just goes to a whole nother level because of the strategy that you provide. And the Lord is increasing that in you, and he's going to begin to download even more and more revelation, strategy, ideas, And it's not even just that they're going to succeed, but that they're going to come under the same presence that you carry, that they're coming into the kingdom at a new level as well.
Come on, yeah, that's a good word. Just as we're prophesying, we'll do a few more. In case you're new, I mean, I assume most of you are familiar with this, but in case you're new, prophecy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians 14 and other places, but it talks about that it's to encourage, comfort, and exhort. You know, Paul says, you know, I love to speak in tongues, but I'd rather you all prophesy so everyone would be encouraged. So there is something super powerful about prophecy. Prophecy is speaking into your future, or it's calling things into your future into existence. Now, there's word of knowledge that speaks about your past, and discernment that speaks about who you are, your present circumstances, the spirit realm around you. But prophecy in its purest form is really encouraging you, giving you courage to move forward, or letting you know, hey, you're on the right track, what you're doing is good. And sometimes it's like, well, when they speak, I'm like, I'm not operating in that currently. Well, that's prophecy, because it's speaking forth something that may not be there. But it tells in Scripture to test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. So when, you know, test prophecy. So you test it. You, if you don't get it, don't just write it off. Just, you know, put it there and say, okay, Lord, I don't quite see this yet in my life. But, you know, sometimes it's a confirming word, and sometimes it's a stretching word. And, I mean, there's been times where I've had someone say, Keith, you have an anointing for this. And I'm like, no, I don't have an anointing for that. Neither do I want an anointing for that. I mean, has anyone ever known what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden, I have an anointing for that, and I love it. And so it's kind of like, don't, you know, sometimes prophecy is either awakening something in us that's dormant, hidden. We don't recognize it. It's like Samuel talking to Saul. Tomorrow I'm going to come tell you everything that's in your heart. You have a calling to be a king. And Saul's like, no, not me, my family. You know, so he goes through this thing, but it was really there. And so sometimes prophecy awakens us, but it shakes us up a little bit. It makes us uncomfortable because it's speaking to the things that God speaks into us. So just giving a little bit of context, because it'll help us receive it. That's why Scripture says, despise not prophetic utterances. So how do you despise prophetic utterances? You don't record them. You don't type them out. You don't mull over them. You don't pray over them. You don't, you know, you just say, oh, that's a good word. You put it on the shelf. Like, you actually have to take a prophetic word and use it, because it's a weapon that's actually can help you advance. And talks about in 1 Timothy, some have let go of their prophetic words and so have shipwrecked their faith. So prophetic words are super powerful, important. And even as we're releasing them, and I know this is a prophetic house and a house that values the prophetic, but like, even if you're not getting prophesied over individually, and you got some good words for the whole house, or you got a corporate prophetic, but even if you're not getting an individual prophecy, take the words that are being given and apply it to yourself, the pieces that you hear God speaking to you in, because there's another level of maturity when you're able to hear God through someone else's word, and you're able to pull the pieces out that you can, oh, that's for me, and oh, that's for me. And I actually get a great joy in this season of not being called out, but watching others get prophesied over, and I actually write down and put on my phone as it's happening, that little line stuck out to me, that little line. And actually, some of the words that have really held me and given me courage in this last season were not words directly given to me. They were words given to someone else, but my sheep know my voice. So you can hear his voice in and amongst prophecy. You can hear his voice in so many variety of things. So just keep... You know, that's how a house, a prophetic house, is going to advance. That's how this house is going to get movement to move forward into the new day, is you have to take the prophetic words. This is what you said, God, and I believe that. That word that was given to everyone, that you guys are, each one of you, significant. Now, some of you might, oh, that's nice. That's a nice word. But if you actually take that and it becomes a sword for you, and you can say, I am significant. It's like every time you look at someone that God greatly used in the Scripture, when Gideon got his prophetic word, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior, he's like, well, if God is really with us, then how come so much stuff has been happening? I mean, it immediately pulls up this negativity. And so when you get a prophetic word, you have to learn. And Gideon eventually, though, it confronts his negativity, his view of the world around him. It showed how he felt helpless, and everyone felt helpless. But eventually, the cry that led the army that took out the enemy was, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. I mean, that's a big change from, okay, everyone's going to shout at the 300 now are going to shout out together. It's all about Gideon and God. See, that's about significance. Do you recognize in Christ you can do all things? And so don't just take, some of you are going to come out of here and you're going to be discouraged during the week. Oh, I'm so discouraged. And you, God gave you the sword this week, but you let it drop. We got to begin to recognize, don't just come to have a nice little church service. You're sitting in, you know, this, I mean, this doesn't look much different than what's happened the last couple hundred years. Nice seats and nice, you know, we're receiving something. But come on, we're an army. An army. And let's just kick off the niceness. Let's realize we're in a battle. You need weapons for war more than you need a nice message today. And prophecy is to give you weapons for war so that you can conquer instead of be under like Gideon. Well, if God's with us, and how come all this is happening in our nation and this seems to be happening, this seems to be happening? Well, God's trying to speak to you saying, hey, warrior, what are you going to do about it? Woo! Are you going to believe the lie? Well, I'm too old. It's my time is past. Lord, I hope someone will come rescue us. Or are you going to say, not on my watch, I don't care how old I am, I'm taking the high ground. What's going to be your mindset? Are you going to say, well, I'm sick, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm a little bit under, you don't know what I've been through, and my relationships, and I was sabotaged, and this person, or are you going to rise up and say, it does not matter what has come against me. If God is for me, who can be against me? See, that's taking the word and turning it into a prophetic word. The word itself is prophetic in nature. It is a sword, the sword of the Spirit. But what is the sword of the Spirit rather than a word that you read every day that doesn't affect you? A sword will shift your environment. The word, you're going to read the word and become more religious and wonder why your circumstance never changes. Or you can take the word and turn it into a weapon that says enough is enough. I'm not going to stay down. I'm getting up. Come on, I'm trying to provoke an army here. We got to be aggressive because everywhere we go, there are false prophets prophesying to you everywhere you go throughout the day, all the time, prophesying on media, prophesying on television, actually putting in front of you words that discourage you, create hopelessness, and try to give the enemy a foothold and a stronghold in our land. And you've got to begin to take the sword of the Spirit and clear your own air and say, no, if God is for me, who can be against me? We're not outnumbered. We're perfectly placed for victory and battle and breakthrough. So that's what a prophetic word is. It's not to make you feel better. Some people apprehend the prophetic word as a comfort instead of as an army order. Praise the Lord, I felt the anointing in the prophetic word. And so I need another prophetic word so I can feel the anointing in the prophetic word. Sometimes the anointing medicates our pain that we never get out of. It's why we come into worship. We come into worship to get a little bit of medication. What if worship became warfare instead of medication? What if worship didn't just make us feel better to go back into our dreary lives that we feel like we're hiding in the cave? I'm just hiding until Jesus rescues me or someone else rescues me. What if we started taking worship as an act of war and started creating warfare through our worship and started taking our land? And it does not matter. You look through Scripture, it was never about the masses that made a change. It was about the three that said, we won't bow, that shifted a nation. It was about the one that wouldn't bow. It was about the twos that went out two by two, and everywhere they went, there was breakthrough. It was about the 300 when there was hundreds of thousands against them. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be people that are intentional. If two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Stop saying you're small. Say we have enough to do what God has called us to do. A poverty spirit says we don't have enough. But an abundant spirit says we have more than enough. This is enough right here. This is more than enough to conquer. Stop saying what you have to offer is small. And not enough. Jesus always used someone who said, here is something that I have to give. The five loaves and the two fish, the widow's mite, the last piece of bread and the oil. Jesus, there was always a miracle inside of there. If you can recognize it, but a poverty spirit says, this is nothing. An abundant spirit says, it doesn't matter what life's circumstances come against me. This is enough for a miracle. This is enough for a breakthrough, not just for me, but for the masses and for the crowd. Woo! Come on! What do you got there?
What can you say after that? Okay, so it's Pastor Phil, right? Okay, so Phil, I heard the Lord say that you are a benefactor, but I also heard him say that you're a prophetic benefactor. And I asked him what that meant, and he said that he is giving you strategies and blueprints, and I just saw these scrolls dropping down from heaven into you to be able to speak wisdom and prophetically into other people, and that you're going to be a benefactor in the prophetic, and where normally the currency would be money, the currency is actually going to be prophetic words. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because it's not, obviously it's not a bartering thing, but I saw the prophetic just being something that you poured into others in a much greater way than you have been before, and where people have been drawing and wanting more and more of the prophetic, and people are always saying, you know, I just want, you know, to learn more about the prophetic. I want to learn more about how the voice of God works. I want to know more about this, and they keep going to the conferences and this and that. I feel like you're going to be a benefactor in that area, where instead where people draw, you're not going to be one of those that draws on other people. You're going to be, because the Lord is giving you blueprints and strategies, and you're going to be able to give out and be a benefactor in that area. So I just want to bless that in you, in Jesus' name.
Okay. The blonde with the maroon shirt on. I just feel like you have a real anointing to work with women. And I see them kind of gathering around you because you're a real source of strength and encouragement to them. And the things that you've been through, the things that that you've gained strength with, you're actually able to offer that strength to those women. And I don't know if it's going to be, you know, in a home setting or how that's going to operate, but I just see that you have a lot of influence with them, and you're actually able to help raise those women up to another level too.
Come on. We got a couple more? Thank you, ladies. Weren't these ladies awesome? Come on. They will be available at the end as well. It's so good to have Tom with me. Tom is an awesome seer, just showed up. I didn't even know he was coming, but Tom's part of our emerging prophets and just a friend, actually, and an amazing seer. And then Rainey, who is here in Santa Rosa. Let's give it up for Rainey. Rainey has been helping raise up the prophetic here in her church, and she's come through Emerging Prophets, so I just love what God is doing. My heart in the prophetic is to, you know, take the level of the prophetic to the next level, and then actually start pulling out the prophets and help people recognize you don't have to be a famous prophet to be a powerful prophet. And we need, you know, schools of prophets. We need companies of prophets in every area. And so that's been our heart, and we're just starting to see some things turn. So it's so great to see you guys here. And are you guys all right? Do I have to keep pushing against your atmosphere all day? You guys have to, you have to rule your atmosphere so I don't have to come in and deal with it. You got to learn to rule your atmosphere. You ought to be able to come into this place in this setting and rule it instantly. I carry a breaker anointed, so I know that I can come in here and shift the atmosphere. But the problem is, if you don't know how to rule it, it closes back down when I leave. And that's why I'm trying to provoke. That's why in this season, I am no longer able to just flow with religious spirit very well. Religious spirit likes things nice, neatly in order, and explained, and in a nice package. And there's something in us right now that we have shifted, and the season has shifted, guys. The battle is very clear. It's very out in the open right now, in our nation specifically, and we are no longer at the luxury of just being able to hide in the cave. It's come out of the cave and become an army, or you're going to get your butt kicked. And so we got to break off the religiosity if we want to take ground. So that's what I'm provoked about. That's what I'm going after. That's what part of my assignment is as a prophet is, you know, don't just enjoy the prophet's breakthrough. Catch the grace that a prophet carries to actually step into that breakthrough for yourself. That's why I run schools, because people that walk with me long enough begin to catch the grace of what I carry as well as the grace of one another, and you're going to get an acceleration. I've walked with numbers of prophets for the last years, and my goal is not to just be around them so I get time with them. My goal is to get around them to catch their grace so I can, it actually opens up a greater expression of the kingdom that I can function in. And you can keep growing. You don't have to be like, well, I'm stuck. This is just kind of who I am. I remember getting around a prophet this last year, and it's not just prophets, but this is a principle of inheritance. You know, Ephesians 1, Paul says, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would understand the inheritance, that you would be able to apprehend the inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance in someone right next to you if you could actually receive it. What is an inheritance? You get something from them that you didn't have to work for, but out of honor, you received it through valuing who they are and what they carry. So that person right next to you, there's people all around here that have precious treasure of Christ. It's the inheritance of Christ deposited in them. So you can receive a good message today, and that's one level of receiving what's happening there. Or you can begin to tap in what's the greater thing that God could have me receive from that person. What do they carry? Can I begin to understand what they carry? And you see it in the life of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha caught what Elijah carried by being around him for 7 years, walking with him. And then he was able to step into a double portion. What's the double portion? He caught Elijah's portion and his own portion. Because when you're in a relationship with fathers and mothers, you don't only catch what they're giving you, but they awaken in you what is yours and uniquely yours. In our culture, it's all about us. It's in our American culture, it's all about the land of independence. Like, hey, don't tell me what to do. I do what I want to do. It's all about me. And we have stories about people became great through their own breakthrough. But imagine what would happen if we began to recognize it's not all through how your hard work and your ability, the American dream, I created this, I did it my way. No, what if you learned to do it another person's way? And you still retained your individual grace and gift and were able to operate in what you carried, but you were able to pull in what someone else carried, you got double portion. One can take 1,000, 2, 10. So when you get the double, it is not just twice as much, it's boom, that much more. I've learned the art of painting a target on my chest that says good soil, and I pull in spiritual fathers and mothers everywhere I go. Whether they're famous or not famous, it does not matter to me, because I'm not looking for the fame. I'm looking for the grace that God wants to deposit in me, because I want to completely fulfill my assignment in life to the fullness. God came to give us life in that abundantly, not just live an average life where I'm bare. I want to be exploding with life. Poverty spirit says, well, there's no one around here for me. There's no fathers and mothers. No one's pursuing me. But a wealthy spirit says, oh, someone's reaching out for me. I can see it. They're not even a believer, but I can see the inheritance in them that they're given to me. Anyways, that's all freebies, and I know we got to get out of here soon, so I got to get the real meat in the next 20. You guys doing all right? Let me just say a couple things. If you want to break that poverty spirit and step into abundant mindset, this is my newest book, Unlocking an Abundant Mindset. This was a 10-year journey for me. Probably started before then, but a real intentional 10-year journey of me coming out of a poverty spirit and learning to carry a wealthy mindset, an entrepreneur mindset. You know, and I'm a prophet and I'm in the church world, and that was my journey. It was like, hey, I want to actually carry an entrepreneur spirit and still be a prophet. I don't feel called to sell cars. I'm called to, you know, be a prophetic voice. How can I break a poverty spirit and not live off of tithe and offering in a mindset? And there's a shift that God did in my life. And so this will give you great keys to come out of a poverty mindset. Because if you're in a poverty mindset is a victim mindset. It's a powerless mindset. It's not a mindset that's ever going to apprehend what is yours, rightfully yours, because you're a victim to everything around you. and life and the government and not this and the Social Security is not enough and life is not enough and my kids aren't enough, my family is not enough, my job is not enough. But an abundant mindset is a mindset that says it doesn't matter what I have, whether I have little or much, I have enough. And learning how to step into that, so breaking a poverty spirit. I can't give this away for free because you ought to pay for your breakthrough. If you're hungry, you need to invest in yourself because you'll value it more. I've seen so many times someone gets a free book that it's still sitting on the shelf. They've done nothing with it. I remember a lady, I gave her two free books, and she comes up to me after church Sunday. Hey, Keith, I feel like the Lord told me that, you know, can you give me that book too? And it was this one right here. I said, you got to pay for that book, man. You got to break your poverty spirit. This isn't about the money that I need. It's about you need a breakthrough. Valuable people value things. They value themselves. They value others. And what happens when you value yourself and you value yourself enough to invest in yourself, what happens is you attract value. You actually, when you begin to sow into things and invest in yourself and pay for things, you know, I started breaking a poverty spirit saying, I'm going to get around, you know, I've always been around influencers because the prophetic goes to the influencers, prophesies to them. That's a part of it. But I started saying, hey, I don't just want, you know, if occasionally they'll give you a gift. I'm like, hey, I want to catch the grace of the entrepreneur. I want to begin to catch, that's the inheritance that I begin to discover. I'm only receiving them at a very minuscule level. Let me go deeper instead of groveling for them thinking, wow, they're wealthy and I'm a poor prophet. Why don't I actually catch the inheritance from them just as much as they should catch the inheritance from me instead of just want a prophetic word. Then they got to keep coming back with a prophetic word. Why don't you catch the prophetic grace? We got to begin to see a different level if we want to go to a breakthrough. So whenever I get around a business person, I pay for the meal. I say, I'm not here for your money because I have an entrepreneur spirit too. Instead of waiting for your parents to die to get their inheritance, why don't you create your own inheritance? That's just a side note right there. I could feel that one. Woo! What if you got so provoked, instead of waiting for someone to die, instead of waiting for a retirement, instead of waiting for this, what if you said, whatever I was going to get, I'm actually going to take that and sow it into my grandkids and the next generation around me, and I'm going to personally press into something for my livelihood in this season that's abundant. And shift a mindset that stops saying, oh, well, the economy's bad, the city's bad, there's no jobs. What job could you create? There is no lack in the kingdom of God. It's a mindset. That's another side note, but that's a good one. I'm getting, anyways. Let's move on from there. And I have a book, The Happy Prophet. I don't know if I feel like the happy prophet today. I feel like the fierce prophet. But, you know, joy, this is for everybody. This is really about creating a culture of joy, which is one of the three major keys the Lord told me. He said that I carried the keys to prosperity and abundance. And one of them, he said, was joy. And so I spent a long time really learning the culture of heaven, which is joy, righteous peace and joy in the kingdom of God. And so, you know, who's the most depressed person in this place? That was the Chris Vallotton anointing, one of my mentors. No one's going to admit to that. You got to be free enough of a religious spirit to actually admit to that, to know that it is not you. So anyways, I was going to give this away, but I guess I won't. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help the warrior to have some fun. Because you know what? If us warriors, we start catching the warrior anointing, if we don't have joy, we'll burn out. Joy keeps the oil burning. And my wife has an awesome book called The Happy Place. And this is wonderful for children. They actually use it in different school systems. It's actually it's a way to encounter heaven. It was what my daughter used to go to her happy place. And so my wife, you know, started creating illustrations and worked with an illustrator and everything. And it's an easy way into heaven, but a very friendly way that is not overtly Christian. So who's got a couple grandkids? Who's got a couple grandkids? I want to bless this with you. You, sir, I bless this to you. And what was your name?
Glenn.
Glenn? Glenn, you really carry an entrepreneur spirit. I really just feel like there's a leadership anointing on you, and there's God is actually going to put you back into something that you were doing before because there's fruit there, and it's like you've been in a season where you made a transition into something new, but now he's going to be putting you back into something that you were doing before. It's going to be coming from a different way, but you're not just operating in what you were doing before. You're operating in what he gave you in this last season, so it is a double portion, and he entrusts you to not only function in the church world, but in the marketplace as well. There's a grace for both, and you're powerful, you're strong, you're healed, you're healthy, you're whole. You've got good discernment. People look to you and listen to you and respect you, and you have a good eyesight for what's coming, but you carry a father's heart to raise up the next generation, and the Lord's pleased with you, and he values your voice, and there's something about you reaching out and pursuing and going outside of the normal spot. There's something about getting outside of your normal environment that will just keep giving you energy in your environment to break through in your environment. It's like you need to go on a little conference out here to a thing. You need to go out here. There's something about getting outside of the normal place that'll actually help you break through where you're locally, where you're based. So, man, that is bless you, Glenn. This is a new season for you, and the Lord's pleased with you. And if you like a prophetic song, I have some CDs out there. This one is Songs from Heaven, Raw and Unedited. These are some prophetic songs I did in different churches. And we only just have a few minutes, but we'll see where things go here. But these, if you love the prophetic, I love the prophetic song, and there's such a breakthrough on it. These are those. Is there anyone here that's a violin player? Okay, right there. Learning. Well, that's good. That's awesome. Well, let me give this to you. What's your name? Rosin, I'll toss it to you. We'll hope it doesn't hit you. But Lord, we bless Rosin. And you know what, Rosin? I just see like a joy over you, Rosalind. You got a spunkiness on you. You got a lot of life in you. You're a life of a part of you, and you really have a deep, sincere heart of love for people. You really care deeply about people, and you're just very generous with what God has given you. It's like even the little does not go unnoticed with the Lord, and I just see him just taking you into such a season of community and connection and fun in this season, and even out of a season of it felt like out of a season of some relationships that just either, I don't know if they even passed away or whatever, but I just feel like it's a new season where God's bringing you a fresh life, and there's a legacy coming before you that's really going to be a blessing to you. It's kind of like Ruth. She went into a new land. She found provision. She found connection into new relationships, covenant relationships, and it brought her into inheritance. So I see that over you, and I just bless you. It's not an accident that you're here today. There's a prophetic that God is awakening inside of you. It's ability to see the future and to plan for it, and your children and your children's children are going to be blessed, even some that are spiritual and some that are natural. So I bless you. Thank you. Are you guys doing all right? Okay, well, let me give you in a quick way the word that the Lord gave me, another layer of the, we've already been getting a lot of great words, haven't we, today, just from the different expressions of the word coming. But, you know, something the Lord told me, you know, today is Palm Sunday, and am I right? Today's Palm Sunday. You guys know what Palm Sunday is? Okay. Palm Sunday is where John 12:13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. It was the week before Jesus went through his crucifixion process. And so there was celebration going on. Jesus was coming in Jerusalem. They were going crazy. They were throwing down the palm branches, celebrating, going wild. You know, he came in in humility on a donkey. And there was this shouting. And then the next thing you know, he's being led to be crucified. Isn't that quite interesting that there could be a people that celebrate and then the next moment will crucify? One thing that I find interesting is actually praise exposes motives. Radical praise actually exposes motives. So sometimes, and you look through scripture and you look at David dancing wildly, who's a man after God's own heart. So there's something about praise that we got to understand that you know, Jesus said, you know, his throne was built on the throne of David, on the throne of David. And then in the book of Acts, it says, I'll restore the tent of David. and make it what it was so that all the nations that bear my name will seek my face. There's something about harvest related to David. And what do you best know David as for? Worship. I think worship, if you actually think about it, you would probably most resonate with David as a worshiper, wouldn't you? He wrote a lot of the Psalms. He raised the tent of David, which was a 24/7 place of prayer and worship going on. And that's actually the heart of God. He created something in the Old Covenant where people could actually apprehend the throne room before it was actually acceptable, and it was not positioned. You couldn't boldly come. You know, there was only one person a year that would come in front of the ark. But David created something where you could be in front of the ark 24/7 and they didn't get killed because they understood the protocol. They understood something that God blesses. And praise is super powerful. Praise is not something that God needs. It's something that we need. But it is something that because people are people and cherubim and seraphim and angels get in the presence of the Creator, they cannot help but doing it. God's such a good king. He doesn't demand praise. He doesn't need approval. He doesn't need us to prop him up to make him feel good because he's insecure. Praise is not about him. It's about the response that you get when you get in his presence. The difference between religious praise and revelatory praise is so important to understand. You can come to church, and if you come to church and you don't worship with revelation, it makes you more religious. When you grow up in church, you know, it's like for me, I'm in the season where I take a communion almost every day. But growing up, I never understood the power of communion, although I could quote all the scriptures and know it's about Jesus, and we get super serious and, oh, it's Jesus' blood, and yes, make sure no sins, and I'm not trying to dishonor it. But, you know, I honestly did not have a revelation of communion that would actually change and transform me, which now I've been in a season where I've been actually catching that grace. Just a little side note. I caught that grace from a prophet that is what they do to access the heavenly. And that's one of the inheritance pieces I caught even in the last couple years. They understood how to get into the heavenly place and deal with the enemy. So things that were coming against them, even financial things that they could not get breakthrough in the power of communion, they actually started getting breakthrough. So there's a power there. I'm just throwing out a little seed right now. If you can catch some of these seeds. But it can't be religious because religion never has power in it. It's going through the motions. So some person goes through all the same motions as the person next to him. This person is completely in his presence. And this person looks exactly the same, but they're not encountering anything. But they're doing it for the look of it, the ritual of it, to check it off their box that they went to church. Or to appear to people around them that they're actually doing those things. Look at them, they're a good Christian. But that Jesus said, oh, you look great, but I can tell underneath you're a whitewashed wall. You're not really actually great underneath. So praise exposes the motives. What did David do? David had a heart of worship as a king. He was not the dignified king. He stripped himself. He was so undone by the King of Kings. He's dancing crazy. Whoa, Jesus, whoa! Woo, Jehovah, it wasn't Jesus then. Wow, we love you, we praise you. He's sacrificing every six steps, bringing the ark into the tent of Jerusalem. Every six steps, they would sacrifice an animal all the way, and it was sacrificed. And you know what? Praise is a sacrifice if you do it right. If you do it right, it should cost you. Because praise and dignity cannot live side by side. And dignity is another form of the fear of man. And when you have the fear of man, it's a snare. And you can't get breakthrough. And you wonder where the breakthrough is. And praise is actually letting you know it's like the barometer of your freedom is seen in your praise. Praise is super important. So when David praises full on, what happens? It exposes the religiosity, the hurt, and the bitterness in his wife, Michal. and she disdains him, and she's disgusted with him, and she says, oh, look at what you're doing. You're flaunting in front of the servant girls just like some, you know, a drunk guys. I'm paraphrasing. This is KBF version and Keith Brian Ferrante version. And David's like, you know what? No, I'll become even more undignified than this, and these gals will actually honor me, you know. And he's like, and I'm doing this for the Lord. See, praise exposes the motives in others and exposes our own motives. I remember early on, I just have to admit, my religiosity, your religiosity will be turned off by radical praise. If you're carrying religiosity or religious spirit, you will be offended at someone's extreme emotions toward God. I remember early on when I was in Bible college, there was one guy in the Bible college that would just always move his hands when he would praise. And I was a third generation pastor going to Bible college, protecting the traditions of my fathers, speaking in tongues, praying, fasting. But I had a religious spirit, even though I had spiritual expression that was valid, and I would still go to heaven. And then we were not married yet, but we were courting. My wife was just, she stepped into the move of God. She was going to some revival hotspots, Brownsville. She would go to Rodney Howard Brown meetings way back then. And she was getting wrecked. She was so hungry. She came from an abused family. She came, but she had found God. She found, you know, she'd found, she put herself through inner healing so she'd forgive her family. And she was just so in love with Jesus. She was like the shining light in her family. And here I am, a third generation pastor. I got a religious spirit. She's free. She's in our Bible college. She's dancing on the front row. And I'm sitting up in the balcony with my friends, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, she's showing off. See, praise exposes motives. Sadly, I shut her down for a couple years with that religious spirit. We got married. People's like, why are you getting married to him? He's religious. I'm thankful that she saw something good in me until I could catch up. Then I had to apologize profusely. I'm so sorry, dear, that I came against your dance. Forgive me. And it takes a while when you've crushed a flower to help it blossom again. I haven't crushed that flower in years, by the way. I that flower is precious to me. But you know, God is gracious to us, and that's what religion does, though. It crushes the life in people, even by your words, even by just a word. And you know, Don't judge. You know, we got to be careful to judge, because, like, I have grace for people down in religious bondage because I was in religious bondage. And you don't know it until God reveals it. And you see it in Jerusalem here. They were praising Jesus, and then the next thing you know, they're crucifying the one they were praising. So sometimes the radical praise, you ever get, let me just say it this way. Sometimes I'll get into a country or whatever, and people, yeah, we're gonna take a team with me. Yeah, we're gonna change the world. We're gonna do this or that, and they're all excited and releasing everything, and then they get their behind beat by the enemy because they actually are doing it with arrogance. They just don't recognize they're doing it with arrogance. They're not coming in with humility, recognizing I don't come in here with arrogance to come into another country thinking I'm the great American breakthrough to this country or whatever it is. I come in humbly and actually create protection, but you don't see that seed of pride until you actually step out and you release it in the context of praise, and then it exposes it so God can get you free of it. But how you get free of it is you get your butt kicked. Jesus, the funny stuff that I feel in the spirit realm. Praise exposes things, but praise is meant to bring breakthrough. I remember when I was in Willits, I pastored there for 10 years. I lived there another 10 years, which is a couple hours north here, an hour and a half north. And there was a climate that was resistant to praise. It was a very volatile. I learned that Willits was a gateway place, which is actually meant you get authority through praise. You get authority through the key of David. It's Revelation 3, Philadelphia Church. But The atmosphere would be so volatile. People were there, very rebellious against authority. It was one of those climates, like, don't tell me what to do. It's a little bit seeded into California in general, but it was more heightened there. It was, to me, a miniature San Francisco. I could feel the thing. But there was a war, and you had to learn to break that war. I remember once it was getting clobbered because the opposite of praise is sexual immorality, shame, depression, heaviness, all of those things. If you're warring against those things, it talks about this in Ephesians. It says, among you must not be any kind of sexual immorality, impurity, greed. These are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, but rather thanksgiving. Thanks is one of the foundational roots of praise, and then you go on a couple verses later, and then it talks about, you know, singing to the Lord and the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. So singing, praise, thanks is actually an anecdote to sexual immorality. If you're wrestling with sexual immorality, you don't have a high enough praise. And let me tell you, the enemy, the false prophets of our day are levying, especially in California. We don't realize how much atmospherically we get affected with the laws that are legislating immorality. Anything that goes against biblical framework actually is releasing a demonic atmosphere over the land that it has authority over. So you have the wonderful privilege of being in California, the land of the promise, and feeling a lot of stuff. But you know what? For those that overcome in this land, you get an authority of the nations, to the nations. Because this, what happens in California goes to the nations. What happens in California affects America. That's why warriors have to begin to rise up, that recognize what's coming at you, instead of just hiding out in the cave, beginning to lodge to the measure of your opposition has to be the measure of your praise and worship. It has to become undignified. Because dignified praise doesn't bring breakthrough. Now the angel has shown up. Dignified praise does not bring breakthrough. Well, I did my time. Holy, holy, holy. Okay? Going through the motions does not bring breakthrough. Peaceful praise does not bring breakthrough. Some of you that like to soak, it does not bring breakthrough. Well, I'm just not a very a robust person. Well, the one inside of you is. He's not just the lamb, he's the lion. And if you only live in the lamb, you'll never see the breakthrough of the lion. Now, the lion needs the lamb, but the lamb needs the lion. So, yes, you have to learn. I have to, as a lion, have to learn. I've had to learn to live in that place of soaking and rest and meditative in the word and calmness and learning that, because you can't always be in battle mode. Take ground, take ground. But some of us have to learn, okay, I've been here. The God of peace will crush Satan. So peace is not just, it's not Hinduism, it's not Buddhism. Let's try to create a perfect little garden, a perfect little environment away from the regular world. It's not ancient mystics and Catholic, Franciscans that create a culture in his own. No, peace is aggressively transforming culture. Sometimes we're like, we just create a perfect environment over here, and, you know, at the absence of conflict, I'll have peace. That's not peace. True peace is the ability to sleep in the storm. Jesus, the God of peace, will crush Satan under your feet. It's an act of war. When you can feel the atmosphere all around you of the demonic, prophetic, prophesying, impurity, fear, all the things that you feel. Is anyone else with me today, or is this just me talking? Does anyone else feel the battle? If you can recognize the battle that you're dealing with, but rise up. That's why you see Gideon. What was the victory? It wasn't flesh and blood victory. It wasn't chopping off with swords. It was the shout of identity and the shout of the Lord's name, plus the breaking of the jar with the trumpets blaring. It was worship. Jericho was the shout. Victory Valley of Baraka, they were had the enemy all around them coming at them. And they sent the prophets out. They said, this is what you're going to do. Send the praisers out. And as they praised, the Lord caused the enemy to be confused and go after each other. Listen, when you begin to praise and go crazy, it begins to release the enemies that are now against you, all of a sudden come against each other. And then you get breakthrough. Valley of Baraka, but that word praise is halal. As they halaled, that means their enemy's coming to kill them. No longer are you going to sing nice songs. When your enemy's going to come, you're going to, God, you're going to begin to get desperate. What you thought you weren't, you would become. Well, I'm just a quiet person. Well, what? Let's just see your kid get taken by a murderer or a rapist and see if you stay a nice person. That's exactly what's happening in our culture. Our children are being stolen by the enemy, and we've got to begin to recognize it instead of be quiet because we're afraid, well, if I say something, I'm going to get barraged. You're already getting barraged. Come on, happy prophet. Come back. Come back. Guys, I'm not angry at you guys. I'm calling the army to awaken because I've lived in California my whole life. I youth pastored after I'd senior pastored, and I saw our kids being under bondage to the enemy, and they're getting a free hellish ride. And parents have no idea what they're going through with the media and the access that they have to demonic things that are now, when it's legislated and acceptable, you can't even do anything as a parent about it. If they want to have a sex change, you can't do anything about it. Begin to recognize that's not how God created things. It's breaking against the culture of how God created things. Train your child up in the way that they should go. Where is, okay, you don't have the right to train up your child. It's completely against God's value system because the enemy, through a few false prophets, has taken over our land. Help us, Jesus. Praise is a way forward. You enter into his courts with praise, Psalms 100. Literally, you come into the revelation of praise. That word praise is once again tehillah, which is the root halal. That word halal is clamorously foolish, bonkers, raving, mad praise. That's the praise that that David did. That's the praise that Valley of Baraka they entered into, and when they entered into, the enemy killed themselves off, and then they spent 3 days picking up the spoils of war. I'll close with this. I was in Willits, and I was going through warfare, feeling the atmosphere, feeling the resistance, feeling the funk, feeling the lustful funk, feeling a rebuttal against authority, feeling the fear, feeling all the atmospheres, and it was crippling me. I was just in survival mode, trying to, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And I drove over here to Santa Rosa. I just thought about that. So there's a key strategically here, and I was sitting outside of the mall. I was going to go eat something in there. But I was just like so into warfare that I just couldn't even be around people. I'm like, I can't go in. I'm just going to get barraged again. Anyone been that backed up by the atmosphere and the warfare and the words? And it's real. We do. Well, there's a real warfare, guys. That word suffering in Scripture says if you suffer, it shouldn't be because you're a meddler, a thief, or a criminal, but because you bear the name of Christ. That word suffer is mental vexation. It's the barrage on your mind, heart, and emotions. It's trying to wear you down. And anyways, the Lord gave me a scripture in that moment after a couple months of barrage. And it was Psalms 18. And it says, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. And when I received that pregnant word that was right then, I screamed out in my car, Jesus, woo, Jesus. You got to praise until you feel it lift. And then it lifted. And I went from afraid to bold. I went in there. I was getting my food. I was witnessing to people. I was bringing the, you go from being on defense to offense once you bust out of that stuff. That's what the enemy's trying to put on you something. And you don't realize it actually is going to bring breakthrough to the people around you. Thinking, I want some of that. What is it about you? I make it a choice. It's just a good dignity. It keeps my dignity in check. Keeps fear in check. I know God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but it tries to creep around. It tries to encroach. It's here, but it's trying to come and cripple us and get us to take ownership that we're afraid. And I just be quiet. I shouldn't do this. And I'm not talking about being mean, guys. I'm not talking about any of that in this whole conversation. It's not being about being insensitive, not being kind to people. That's not what this is about at all. But sometimes love is fierce. Sometimes love has to be loud because the enemy, he is not quiet in what he is doing. There's no quietness about what the enemy is doing. And, but, you know, I'll be on the street, I'll be in the mall, I'll be in the airport, I'll be wherever I'm at, I'll be in my own home neighborhood. And when I feel the praise begin to rise up because of his goodness, because you're in his, the temple, that's, you know, the, you are the temple, the presence of God is inside of you, you're in the throne room is in you, and you'll begin to feel that praise. And that spirit of fear will say, this is not the right time. You know, intimidation, that's what that means, to be a little less in who you are. And the enemy wants you to keep that fire in the fireplace. I'm like, no, not keeping that fire in the fireplace. And I raise my hands on the street. I raise my hands in the airport. I do a little jig. I can feel my feet wanting to move because my body is the members of my body are of Christ now. And they're prone to praise. They're prone to worship. They're not prone to violence and anger and hate. They're prone to actually worship and love and joy and peace. That's because I'm a new creation, but I don't hold it back anymore. And that's what Scripture says is when you dishonor me before men, I'll disown you before my Father. But if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the angels and my Father. And you'll get breakthrough. You'll have angelic encounters. You'll start having, where's my breakthrough? Because you've chosen. I'm not hiding. I'm not compartmentalizing my God. He is with me all time. And when I feel like praising, I'm going to praise. When I want to thank, I thank. When I want to love someone, I love them, because that's praise coming out of me to someone else. When I'm loving one another, I'm loving the Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that that garment of praise be released over this house, Lord, that in Santa Rosa, where I got that Psalms 18:3 breakthrough, that there would be a multiplication of that seed when I cried out in that mall, and Lord Jesus, and it shifted to an evangelism and bringing people into the kingdom of God. I pray that anyone that's broken, under bondage, under depression, under heaviness, under suicidal thoughts, I felt that was creeping in on a couple folks, just thoughts of, oh, my life is not, well, you, that's just the, that's the lowest form of where discouragement started. Discouragement, then it goes down, 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 down. I'm not making a difference. Oh, my life is over. I just pray that you'd come out of that cave, come out of that dark space, and you'd begin to put on the garment of praise. Maybe you don't feel like halal, but right now, let's just begin to live. Start with, you know, when I don't feel like halal and jumping around, I just start with a little quiet thanks. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I start turning my frown to a smile. Maybe I can't laugh, but I can at least smile. Maybe, I begin to shift my atmosphere because he's inside of me. It's not my own praise. It's not my own joy. Deuteronomy 10:20 says, he is your praise. It's the halal. He literally is the praise that's within me. He wants out. That's the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Praise wants out. That's our victory. Praise is saying Jesus already defeated the enemy. That's what praise is doing. It's saying he's already won. I praise the King of Kings. He's already won. And I begin to move and my atmosphere shifts. Begin to know it. My finances shift. My family begins to get breakthrough. The checks in the mail start coming. Jobs start opening up. They took 3 days to get all the treasures after they praised. And their praise was at the level of their warfare. So Lord, let the praise engine be released in this house, Lord. I know this is a house of praise, but Lord, I pray that that praise would turn from defensive praise to offensive praise. Lord, I pray that there would be Lord, there'd be the next level of connection in the worship, Lord Jesus, here, Father, and there would be breakthrough, Lord. And I just bless your people. I thank you so much for you have a people in Santa Rosa. You have a people in Santa Rosa, a holy nation, a royal priesthood who's declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. That's a part of your royal mandate as a priesthood and a holy nation, is to praise, is to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. And as you praise, the others that are in darkness will begin to come into the light. And so we, Lord, would pray that that light... We're having a hard time getting the lights to work earlier today. They were talking about before, and the light. Thank you, Lord. You'll get our light on again through the praise, through the fullness of life, through the thankful heart. Lord, and we exchange. We put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. We do an exchange right now. Guys, if you have that spirit of heaviness, just take that off and say, no more. No. Heaviness, gloom, complaining. Instead of complaining in the Philippians 4, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. We thank you, Lord. Begin to close out with thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thanks is the sustainability of praise. Thanks is the foundation of praise. We begin to thank you for what you are. Thank you for what he is doing in that situation that looks bleak. Can you see the five loaves and the two fish in that situation? Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in my family. Thank you for what you are doing in my kids. Thank you for the breakthrough that I do have in my finances. Thank you for the bread on my table. Lord, thank you for the car that gets me around. Thank you for the job. Lord, I know I want more, but I'm thankful that you're a good father, and this is what I have. And I thank you, Lord, that if this is all I have, you gave it to me. You entrust me with the little season, and the little will become the much, Lord Jesus. Whether I have little or much, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a kingdom key. And Lord, we thank you for the little. It's not too little. It's enough, oh God. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're a good father. You're a good father. And we want California back, Lord Jesus. Started in Santa Rosa. Started in this Psalms 23 army. Started in this Psalms 23 place, Lord, that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in your house forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Ooh.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And hey, Keith, will you come stand right here? I had a word for you. I was going to give it to you at lunch.
Wonderful.
But I got to go do it now. So, because there's a word in this for you guys too. So I felt like this morning I heard Deuteronomy 28:7 for you, Keith. So he's blessing Israel at Gezerim, I don't know how to say that. But he's, this verse, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way. They will flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way. They will flee before you seven ways. And I saw that the word, the truths that you declare, Keith, they divide the strategies of the enemy. And it's a division that it causes them to be split and ineffective. That the words that you release, the truth you releases defeats the enemy by dividing it. It comes at you one way and it flees seven ways. And it is easily then hunted down and defeated. And that victory is yours. And I saw that one of the spoils is unity. One of the ways that as you release truth, as you see the enemy divided, that you reap unity and that those around you will reap unity. And so, Jesus, I thank you for your power in and through Keith Ferrante and the ministry that he has. Thank you for victory increasing in the future for him. And thank you that he will begin to see in greater measure the strategy of the enemy divided, and that unity in and around him and his ministry will increase in Jesus' name. And then I want to encourage you guys, Keith has released truth today. He's released strategy, and it can mean something for your mind only, or it can be victory in your life. And if you watch, if you hold that truth that he's imparted, and if you fight with it, you fight with that weapon, you'll see the enemy and his strategies against you divided. And victory will be, sometimes we look at our at our life and the stuff we face like this big fat mess, and we don't know what to do, and it defeats us just by standing there. The enemy doesn't even have to fight. He just stands there, and we surrender because it looks too big, and the strategies released today will divide the strategies of the enemy, and they will be easily defeated, and the victory is ours. And so we can steward what was released today by pointing it, using that weapon at the enemy. So Jesus, we ask that you would, again, you would bless us. We receive your blessings as good stewards. I'm going to steward what you gave to me today. Let that be the declaration of our heart, the declaration of our lips, that we would steward well what you deposited in us today, and that it would be in seed form the victory that we anticipate seeing in the battles that we face. We seal what you're doing, God, what you did this morning. Would you store these words in our hearts? Would you equip our hands with them, that we would be mighty and bold in who you have called us to be in this land, and we would see your victory before us. Yeah. Thanks, Jesus. Amazing.